It's good to be in church this morning.
Amen.
And again, I mean, I predicted, maybe I'm one of the prophets because I mentioned that we might be in a different seating arrangement. Lo and behold, I don't know what Brother Bill was talking about, move around, because so you don't get used to your comfort spot. The auditorium doesn't say the same from one service to the next. How could you sit in the same seat? I got a couple things to say, but it was touched by Brother Brian's testimony, and I recalled different things that Christians that I know have been through difficult times. And, you know, I feel impressed to say this. Right there, what he said about the outpouring of love in a time like this, that's where the rubber meets the road when it comes to the church family. People get out of church for whatever reasons, but they miss out on that. And it's so important, the family of God, amen, for the support in the rough times. And what a thing it is that people I know that are saved and love God and got crossways with a brother or sister or a preacher or a church for some reason, and they're out there, they're still saved, and they may very well still love Jesus. But, buddy, when the rough stuff comes, and they don't have that because they weren't in the fellowship of that. And I've seen that play out many times in my Christian life. And I'll tell you what, right there, you had a brother just say how important it is in time of need. So, preacher mentioned this morning the importance of the Bible. That was a great Sunday school lesson, by the way. And so you've heard it said like this, that the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. You've heard that, right? And I was in a church in Louisiana a week or so ago, and a lady came and she mentioned that to me, and she said she'd heard that, but it says Holy Bible, and she was bound and determined to figure out what holy stood for. And she said no more than the thought crossed my mind that she came up with, help others learn. Your basic instructions before leaving earth. And that's what he said. We've got an obligation. Amen. God left us here for a reason. It's to help others get in on the truth that we got in on. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, the last thing I want to say is this. Now, everybody pay attention. Please. Please. S-P-U-R-G-E. O-N, for that designation on the, you know, and when you get it right, David, you don't even have to put, what are you laughing at? No, Spurgeon, okay, all right. And if you think I'm obnoxious now, I've been in church 28 years. Amen. Take your Bible this morning, go to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, let's begin reading in verse number 10. Word of God says this, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. I read that so I could say this. I'm not preaching on that verse this morning. Verse number 11, because of that, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Some people have kind of a lackadaisical attitude when it comes to dealing with the things of the Bible. But, beloved, I'm telling you today, there is an urgency implied there. It says in verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And there's definitely an urgency because it's getting darker quickly. Amen. Now, what I want to point out and preach on this morning is in verse number 11, you find a word that's used twice, and that word is now. He says, now it is high time to wake out of sleep. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And when it's repeated twice, it gets my attention that maybe the Spirit of God trying to make a point.
Yeah.
And I'll just take it right back to my roots. I'm a Tennessee boy. I know I got Ohio license plates out there. Don't let that throw you too much. Of course, then I got to say my wife is a Yankee. She's from, but me, okay. But, But when I was growing up, my mother was Irish. I mean, Irish. And when she said, now, she meant it. When my dad said, now, there was no debate. He didn't have to say anything three times to get my nose out of my phone or my computer or my video screen. When I heard the word now in my house, and I was an only child, so yeah, everybody outranked me. When I heard that word now, I knew this. I knew they meant it. My wife's giving me the look because I said I was an only child. So is my sister. Okay. All right. I know what she's getting at. She was 12 years older than me. For the first 12 years of her life, she had it made. And then little David came along and made her life totally miserable for 5 years. And then she moved off and went to nurses training and got married. And from 5 years on, it was just me. Amen. And she came from a family of nine, so she thinks maybe I'm a little spoiled. I don't know what all that is about. But I say this, if mom and dad say now and they mean it, I got a feeling when God says it, God means it. Amen. So I want to preach on that word now. It comes up in other places in the Bible. I want to hit on that for a few minutes this morning, and we'll see what God does. Father, we do come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, and that is the name above every name, and I'm thankful, God, somebody came and told me about you.
Amen.
And I'm thankful that of all the bad decisions I made in my life, that I made that one right and trusted you as my Savior way back in 1990. Lord God, I am privileged to stand in this pulpit to open your infallible book. And Lord God, I pray for every soul in here this morning. There are needs, many. Some need comfort. Some need conviction. Some need conversion.
Yes.
Lord God, none of those things are a problem for you. May you have your will and way with us today. We'll be careful to give you the honor and glory for anything that goes right. And dear Lord God, I must mention again. For that soul closest to hell, that person that's not saved near to that, pray God, you just, I pray you'd work in their life, open their understanding so that they would see that this most important need, it truly is the easiest need to meet. Because you did it. You paid it all. Help us to understand it. Father, I love you, and I pray that you'd just bless the message and the preaching of it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen,
amen.
And amen. Now, we're going to look at that word now. So take your Bible. First of all, go to Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to turn to a couple, and I'll read a couple, but that's the way that'll go. But Ephesians chapter 2, and verse 13. For the sake of time, I'm going to read right there. It says, but now. Now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Well, and I look at that thing right there, and that's a pretty fair, very accurate description of some of us, because some of us were far off. Isn't that right? But it said this, it said, now. It's now we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I want to just say for point number one this morning, if you're saved in here, if you're saved, you're saved right now.
Amen.
You're saved right now. It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 9, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. I'm not waiting to be saved. I'm saved right now. The Bible says so. It says in Romans 11 and 30, for as ye in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy. Boy, I tell you what, that is what we obtain. It says in Ephesians chapter 2 that God is rich in mercy, and it occurs to me on a regular basis that mercy is what God needed to be rich in to save the likes of us. Amen. If you're saved, you're saved right now. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 says this, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And I'm telling you what, I believe He's fixing to appear. I believe the second coming, the rapture of the church is right around the corner. I know there are different things. I don't want to confuse myself. Oh, too late for that. But anyway, I'm telling you what, I'm a son of God right now. Are you saved?
Amen.
Amen. Well then, like the preacher explained well this morning, you are a child of God.
That's right.
Which this would be a good time to say, it's time to start acting like it.
That's right.
I can say that on Friday night or Tuesday night or Thursday night, but there's a lot of people that don't come to church any other time but Sunday morning. So I'm saying it's Sunday morning. It's time to grow up and start acting like a child of God.
Amen.
Amen. You're welcome very much.
Amen.
Glad I had a chance to say that to you. Now, I know you do personal work here. Many of you are results of the personal work of this church. So here's a technique, and there's a lot of different ways people do things. But one of them might be, do you know where you're going to go when you die? You can really just start right there because you don't have to debate with people whether or not they're going to die. People know that. We've got an appointment with dead lost. People know that. Rich people die. Poor people die. Tough people. Sick people. Strong. Everybody's got an appointment with God. Amen. But so then you cut right to the question is, do you know where you're going to go when you die? And here's what you find out. Most people don't. Most people don't. And you'll get a variety of lessons. Oh, I think I'm going to come back as a mosquito. Oh, more power to you. You got all kinds of weird thinking. But I'll tell you what, you can get around Christians. You can get with people that are members of churches. And at the end of the day, they don't know. They don't know for sure. Many people that'll say, are you saved? They'll say yes. But if you ask them, do you know where you're going to go? They don't know. They hope they know. They're praying that they get to go to heaven. But there's a lot of people in churches this morning all across America that would claim to be saved that do not know, based on the authority of the Word of God, that they'll go into heaven. Would that be you this morning? We're glad you're here this morning, but I'm not taking anything for granted. We're not going to assume anything. I'm here to tell you, if you're saved, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing, you are saved right now.
Amen.
Amen. That helps me. I don't wake up wondering if I'm going to... I wake up wondering a lot of things sometimes, but I don't wake up wondering whether or not I'm going to hell or heaven. That thing's settled. I know, and there might be even somebody here today that would say, you can't know for sure. Well, you know what? I mean, I get that. I know where you got that. That's prevalent, that's taught, but I'm with the preacher here this morning. I'm going to defer to what the Bible says.
Amen.
And the Bible says you can know.
Right.
Amen. Amen. So it's 1 John 5:13 said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Are you saved? That's how you get saved. Amen. That ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And I'm glad I'm saved right now. Amen. And you should be glad I'm saved right now, because back in the old days, I didn't take offerings with an envelope and a plate or a box. Some of you don't get that. That's good. I probably shouldn't have said it. My wife gave me that look again. Okay. All right. I'm glad I'm saved right now. I don't think I'm saved. I don't feel hope. It says that you may know. I just want to be honest with you. I don't always feel saved. Sometimes my wife wonders about me, I think. Amen. And there's a multitude of things that I don't know. But there's one thing I do know. I know I'm saved right now. Because I'm not putting my faith and trust in how I feel or doing good or not doing the bad thing. The Bible says that if you put your faith and trust in the name of Jesus Christ, that's how you get born again. And I did that. Amen. And it just keeps getting better and better. I got saved because the preacher preached on hell. And he didn't dramatize. He just showed me what the Bible says is bad enough. And I thought, oh boy, if that's true, I'm going there for sure. Amen. And then he told me what Jesus Christ did on the cross to make a way for me to get my sins forgiven. And I had to question myself, and I questioned him, and I even researched it in a book and said, could that possibly mean somebody like me? And listen, this is really deep. You don't have to know Greek or Hebrew or anything else. When it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, let me help you with that. Whosoever means... Bible says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I got in on the everyone clause. And if you're saved here, so did you. And you can know that. You may not know a lot of things, but you can know that this morning. How about this one? John chapter 5 and 24 says this. And Jesus speaking, probably worthy of note, point that out. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now look, we homeschooled our kids. Okay, we redefined the term school bus because the bus actually was the school. Amen. We lived in one. We still do. We're traveling around the country. She homeschooled the kid. Now I know I'm the man. I'm the boss. So I get all the credit. I was the president of the homeschool association. She taught all the classes and I had one responsibility. I was in charge of field trips. So while she's got the classes going on, four different grades going on at one time, the kids are looking out the window, dad's dodging whatever in the road and whatever, and she's trying to keep all that organized. Then all of a sudden, the turn signal would come on, and I'd be heading off an exit, and she'd say, what are you doing? I said, didn't you see that sign? It said Grand Canyon. It said Plymouth Plantation. It said Jamestown. It didn't say Disney World. We didn't go there. And till later. But because we couldn't afford it. But, hey, man, my kids had more field trips than anybody. What are you saying, Brother Spurgeon? She's the smart one in the family. Don't amen on that. But I, with my public school education, got enough sense to know what tense, I think it's, I'm getting tense, what tense the word hath is. Isn't that present tense? I'm going to tell you what, if you're saved this morning, I'll tell you what, if you believe on the name of the Son of God, amen, you have everlasting life. Yeah. Amen. 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 What a blessing to know that if you're saved, you're saved right now.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Let me ask you something this morning. Do you have everlasting life?
Amen.
Do you? I'm not assuming it. In other words, are you saved? I'm talking about biblically saved. You might be a fine person. I mean, you might be a religious person. I'm not asking any of that. I'm asking you if you're saved. If you're saved this morning, you're saved right. The mentality is so popular.
Yeah.
And you're going to live forever? If you're saved, you're saved right now.
Amen.
Say, we knew that. I know you did. I know you did. You know, big part of preaching is just reminding you of things. That's what the Bible does. Teaches by repetition, contrast, and comparison. And Jesus reminds us of things. That's why you need to read your Bible.
That's right.
Amen. All right, so you're saved. You're saved when?
Now.
Saved right now. Now take your Bible, go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And let's look at verse 19. Romans chapter 6 and verse 19, the Bible says, and Paul speaking, by the way, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, that's past, even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Now, this is just, you know, I'm not a deep thinker. I'm not a deeper life guy. It just makes sense to me. If you're saved right now, and you are, you might as well serve God now. You need to serve God now. Now, I'll give you a verse over here in John chapter 1. It says this. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. I got to tell you, that right there, to me, is absolutely one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Could you imagine Henry Ford walking into his factory 120 years ago in Dearborn, Michigan, walking in, pulling up in some fancy car, and walking in, and nobody in the place even looking up or saying, oh, not having any clue who he was. Probably had an oil painting 15 feet high right in the lobby. But Jesus Christ created all this, and he came into the world that he made, and they didn't get it. And then the very people that had thousands of scriptures written specifically to them telling about his coming, they didn't get it either. That's why that verse is sad to me. I wonder if it was sad to him. I tell you another verse that's sad to me. It's where it says in Ezekiel 22, I sought for a man among them to stand in the gap. He found none. That's a crying shame. I hope it ever, don't ever get that way again. Amen. But I'm telling you what, as sad as those verses are to me, I rejoice in verse 12 that says this, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power. Amen. To become the sons of God, even unto them that believe on His name. Have you received Him? Amen. Amen. Have you believed on His name? Are you saved? You say that a lot. I'm going to say it a lot. Amen. Because that's the key issue right there. But I'm here to tell you, if you are saved, if I took a poll and you would raise your hand and say, Brother Spurgeon, I'm saved. People like say, well, I'm not asking all that. I'm not praying. Whatever your relationship is, that's between you and God. You need to make it better. You need to get it, make it sound. You need to make it sure. But I'm asking you if you're saved. And if you would say, yes, I am, could I, what a blessed would God give a person power? Why would God save a person and give them power so they can just go through life doing whatever they want? That's what you do before you get saved. He gave you power to serve Him. He gave you an ability you didn't have before to live for God, to serve Him. And I'm here to tell you, He gave you power. He gave you enough power to start serving Him right now. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to try to encourage you this morning. We need a purpose in our heart that we're going to serve God now. Amen. Well, you can. And you can. You can. Everybody here's got credibility with somebody. Everybody here interacts with people that may never darken the door of this church. Everybody here has got a responsibility and an ability to spread the gospel, to share the glorious gospel of Christ with somebody. And we need to do it. We need to take it seriously. Don't wait until you get all your ducks in a row. Now, you've heard that expression. I have a message on ducks. I think I might have preached it here. I don't know. Oh, well, got to cross that out for this week. I was in England preaching. I got to go over there, and somebody said taking Dave Spurgeon to preach to the British is like putting whipped cream on an onion. Amen. Amen. So their expressions don't all translate, right? You guys, some of you guys know from other countries, things do not translate. So I said that. I'm preaching along, and I said something about getting all your ducks in a row. I lost it. I lost the crowd that day. They no longer, they're looking at each other. What does that mean? There are things that just don't translate. There's another one or two that I'm not going to bring up. But I'm going to tell you something right here. You understood what I meant. You understood what I said. Man, people in churches on Sunday morning got a list of excuses. That's what it boils down to. Or they call them reasons. You know, the list of reasons is in the list of excuses. You know what I'm saying? There's a big difference. Well, as soon as my finances get right, as soon as my kids, as soon as my... listen, man, you don't have any reason to believe all that stuff will ever get right down here. So you just need to figure out what you can do and how you can serve God now. Some people act like they're doing God a favor by strolling into church on Sunday morning. Are you kidding me? There's 50 million Americans in church right now. They're in church more faithful than some of us, and they're not even saved. That's not all there is. I'm going to tell you what, if you're saved, I hope you're saved. Say you're saved, you're saved right now. But I'm here to tell you, you need to get a hold of this thing. You need to figure out a place, a way that you can serve God now. If you're not, maybe you never thought of it this way, but if you're not, I'd sure like to encourage you to give it a try. Give it a try. Now we got some veterans in here, and I did 3 years in the Army a long time ago. And when I got down to within 6 months of getting out, that's called you're short. You take a little calendar and you mark off that last 180 days and then you got it in your locker and every morning you walk up and you cross off a day and you get closer. So 180 days, we're going to take that figure. I would challenge you this morning to get yourself a calendar. Now if you're busy, stay busy. But if you're not and you want to take the challenge, you get yourself a calendar and you mark off 180 days. I'm talking about starting from tomorrow. Not today, because today you're in church. Be here tonight. That'd be a good start. Start tomorrow, mark off 180 days, and purpose in your heart that you're going to serve God. You're just, for 180 days, what does that mean? You're going to read your Bible every morning. You're going to pray every morning. You're going to come to church every service. You're going to tell the preachers, if there's anything you need done, here's my number. If there's anything you need somebody to go somewhere, and you're only going to do it for 180 days. But for 180 days, you're going to just make the ultimate sacrifice, really.
Okay, you're going to make the sacrifice. You're going to give. You're going to give your money. Yeah, amen. That's always positive. And did I give you an S-P-U? Okay, we did that. 6 months, just 180 days, you do that. And buddy, at the end of 6 months, you don't have better peace with God. You're not happy you did. Amen. Brother Billy will give you $1,000. Hey, well. But I'm telling you what, if you do what I just said for 6 months and you come to him and say, well, I didn't get anything out of it, he will take out your tithe because you're already a liar. You probably won't give God his money anyway. I'm trying to encourage you this morning. Let me tell you something. When you got saved, you got... And he don't ask for much back. Brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your... Doesn't say above and beyond the call of duty. It says reasonable service. That be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's not three things. That's one thing. Good and perfect and acceptable the will of God. And it's just reasonable. Well, it seems like a lot. Well, okay, well, you're looking at it wrong because you need to start comparing anything that you might have an opportunity to do or whatever it is you're afraid of doing with what Jesus Christ did. Oh, but my comfort zone. I wonder about his comfort zone in glory, seated with the Father, being worshiped, content. He don't ask much of us, folks. And buddy, I guess if we'd all fractionally do what we're able to do, probably we'd get a lot more done, have more fun doing it. Amen. Make God happier. Make our families happier, our children, our spouses, our churches. I'm thinking, if you're saved, you're saved right now. But if you're saved right now, I want to challenge you. You need to serve God now. Now, I said earlier, and it was proved by this Sunday school this morning, and this is the first time I heard Brother Bill. Usually it's been Brother Brian. Like I say, I know what your foundation is. I know what you believe, and I know you know what I just said already. And some of you are thinking this right here. As you take your Bible, go to Isaiah 59. And some of you are saying, you know I should, but I got a problem. Isaiah 59, and verse number 1. Bible says this, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. You might be in there and you're definitely saved, and you know you should serve Him, but you can't, and it's because something's gotten in the way. And, you know, I'm not going to say, search your heart and find out where chances are you know exactly what it is. What sin has separated between you and your God, and it didn't cost you your salvation, but I tell you what, it'll cost you your joy, and it'll cost you your testimony if you don't get that thing right. Now, if you're not able to serve because sin has entered, and who hasn't had that happen? We're mortals. But I'm here to tell you this morning, I'm trying to encourage you to get that thing straightened out, figure out, find out. You already know, confess it, repent of it, get it right, and do it now. Do it this day. Don't have to consider getting right with God. Well, the preacher preached I should get right with God. Maybe I should pray about that. If you're not right with God, you're not going to pray about that. There's some things you don't need to pray about. Right. Gee, I wonder if I could do that sin. Let me help you. No, there's some things you just obey the Spirit of God. Obey the book.
That's right.
Get right. Get right now. I don't get it. I don't know why so many Christians insist on living. I'm not talking about some big ecumenical. I'm talking about Bible believers. I don't understand why so many people that claim to be Bible believers insist on living on the edge. Yeah. So what do you mean? One foot in the church, One foot in the world.
Amen.
Only problem is we're in the world about, you know, 5-6 more days a week than we're in church. I mean, sooner or later, man, the balance is going to take you the wrong direction. The most miserable people I know, they've got too much God in them to enjoy the world and too much world in them to enjoy God. And that is the formula for misery. God didn't expect you. He didn't call us to misery. He calls us to peace. Let me tell you something. Until you get it right, whatever it is, don't even think you're going to sit there. Wonder who he's talking to. You! Amen. You can fool me. You can't fool God. If the Spirit of God is saying, hey, man, let's get that thing straightened out. Get it straightened out while you can. In a room full of other believers that will pray for you. With people that are for you. With people that have been there. With people that are going to be there. We need each other. We need the Spirit of God to prevail. And what he says is, come unto me. He said, you're carrying burdens he didn't intend you to carry. Get it right now. I'll tell you why it's so important. When I say the word now, take your Bible, go to Mark 4. Mark chapter 4. Look at verse 15. This is the parable of the sower and the seeds, and the Lord is explaining it. He says in verse 15, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, see, that's what you get here. You hear the word. That's what you're hearing this morning. It says, and when they have heard, look what it says. Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Let me tell you something, man. The devil doesn't need 10 verses too direct. And the devil's going, yeah, yeah, and you don't have to listen to him. What's he know? He's old drunk biker all them years. That's why I don't preach myself.
Amen.
Yeah, you need to deal with that. You need to get that thing right, you know. Yeah, but just not today. And we walk past Bibles, and we walk past praying Christians, and we walk past Holy Spirit thinking of... Now, this might not be your... Get that thing right, and I'd like to encourage you to get it right now. And I'm not saying you're not saved. You ought to serve God when? And if you got an issue, you got sin, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know what? We deceive ourselves into thinking, I'm good. No, you're not. We're no good. That's why we got to stay as close to God as we can. That's why the devil tries to separate us, and he's good at what he does. And your heart is complicit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I can answer that question. God knows it. And he says, my son, give me thine heart. Because you can't be trusted with it. You'll fall for the sales pitch. Amen. And boy, we're susceptible for falling for all kinds of sales pitches. Amen. We all got a bunch of stuff we don't need. We're all in more debt. Maybe not all, but most of us are in more debt than we should be because we fell for some slick salesman. How much more so is the devil, the professional salesman, that says, you don't have to deal with this now? Yes, you do. You should. Simple word this morning. Now, if you got something to get right, listen, don't put it off. Don't put it off. I've been in services where preachers would get offended if somebody got up and went to the bathroom or a baby cried because it would disrupt his train of thought. You know, please take care of that. Let me tell you something. I learned to preach on street corner with people this far out of your away from your face cussing you or in penitentiary where they're hauling guys kicking and screaming out in the middle of a message and you gotta stay on focus. I say that, say this. If the Spirit of God provokes you to get something right, this altar's open right now. I'll walk around you. You don't have to wait till it's over. We don't have a ceremonial time. It's the third stanza. Time to move. I've been in places that are so organized, I'm thinking, wow, no wonder God doesn't show up. If you need to get right now. Don't put it off. So, here's where I'm gonna wrap it up. All right? Some of you aren't going to fall for that, but if you're saved... You're saved right now. You're a child of the King. That should be good news. All right? So, purpose in your heart, you're going to serve God now. I mean, okay, say, but I don't know what you mean. Well, how about let's take Paul's approach. What would thou have me to do? He asked. There's Christians that won't ever ask that. Because they're afraid. What are you afraid of? He ain't never hurt nobody.
No, he didn't.
Just ask him. Lord, what would thou have me to do? I did that one day. Well, I'm glad I did. Amen. If you need to get right with God, again, do it today. Amen. Tomorrow will be better. Mm. Amen. All right, but I got to say one more thing. Take your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And look in verse number 2. And the Bible says this. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, if you're in here and you're not saved, I've been asked, are you saved? Are you saved? If you're in here and you're not saved, we invite you to get saved.
Amen.
Now. Amen. You need to get saved. I'm going to tell you why. Luke chapter 16 and verse 23, the Bible says about the rich man and that story about the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man, they both died. Lazarus was carried off by angels and the rich man was buried. I bet he had a real expensive, fancy funeral too. Mm-hmm. Probably got some preacher to come up and say, well, our brother rich man here is probably in a better place. That's what they do these days. I mean, you can pay a preacher these days, say anything. I mean, they're putting heathen in heaven all the time.
Yeah.
Boy, what a great place to be able to deliver the truth. And I understand compassion and grace, but boy, what a great time to deliver the truth of the Word of God when a person's faced with the reality of their mortality. The rich man was also died and was buried, but the next verse doesn't say anything about flowers, and it says this. It says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Tormented in flame. That's that place called hell, just like Grandma told you. Amen. Amy, you may have decided not to believe that. I was on the street one time and I said, could I tell you what Jesus did to keep you from going to hell? You know what the guy said? Oh, that's okay. I don't believe in hell. And I said, wow, what a novel idea. Why didn't I think of that? Listen, hell's reality isn't determined by your decision to believe or not. Whether you go there is whether you determine to believe it or not. And that rich man, he didn't get in on it while the getting was good. He had too many things going in his life. He knew some things. He recognized Abraham. Amen. He'd probably been in church more than a few times. But could I say to you, people go to hell from a church house just the same as from a dope house?
That's right.
Amen. Now, he didn't make time for God while he's living, but I'm going to tell you what the first thing he said on the other side of his last breath was, have mercy on me. Now, from hell, he's ready to ask for mercy. I'll bet he was, too.
Yeah.
You know what he found out? You read through the passage, you find out it was too late. Too late for him. Time ran out. And time runs out. But the good news this morning is, if you're in here and you're not saved, it is not too late for you. Amen. Don't let time run out. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. Now. You know, we're not talking about joining churches. We're not talking about getting rid of your old and getting new. We're not talking about the big list of do's and don'ts. We're not talking about none of that. We're talking about getting your sins forgiven. And you better deal with it because you are now responsible for the information.
That's right. That's true.
Yep. So if you're not saved, get saved now. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now. Like right in about 2 minutes. Amen. Okay, maybe one. Don't miss it. Let me say this. If you claim to be saved, but you know you're not, I know you now you got to swallow your pride. That'd be better than swallowing flames.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
If you claim to be saved, you got a testimony, and probably nobody believes it but you, and you don't even believe it either. Let's get that thing straightened out. If you claim to be saved and you're not, get saved now. And maybe you really thought you were. You prayed some little prayer with the best of intentions, but for some reason, man, you're missing something. It's called the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen. And if you've realized you're not saved, listen, I know, again, that's kind of hard. What will people think? You better be more concerned with what God thinks. I'll tell you what we'll think. We'll think you got more guts than most people. Yeah, amen. If you need to get saved now. And if you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven will be your home in eternity, if you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven will be your home in eternity, you are in need of not religion, not opinion, Bible salvation.
Right.
And the good news is you can have Bible salvation.
Right.
It's referred to in more than a few places as the gift of God. Let's all stand. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Now is decision time.
In a moment, we're going to be singing song number 438. I want to ask you...